What would I choose if I fully trusted myself? That's one question, right? Mm-hmm. There's another, if I already had courage, what action would I take today? Mm-hmm. Today? Mm-hmm. Or what story of fear am I willing to release so I can step into my power? What do you need to walk past in order to move forward?
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well. Today's guest is Glenda Benavides. You are, Glenda, a Grammy-nominated artist, an award-winning author, and the creator of Soul on Fire. Soul on Fire is a powerful life experience that blends music, storytelling, and transformation. And your work, Glenda, is about clarity, courage, and confidence. Not as just concepts, but really as lived experiences. And your journey from early challenges with dyslexia and speech to becoming a global voice for empowerment is deeply human and deeply relevant for everyone, and especially also leaders today. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Let's start right away talking about Soul on Fire, because you described that as an immersive activation and not a concert. So what really shifts when music is used that way? And what do you mean by that?
Yeah, the music, I believe, is healing. And it's been a healing for me and so many others, of course. And it crosses all genres, so it doesn't really matter. Whatever you're inspired by or whatever activates your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, whatever. So with Soul on Fire, I've done a lot of transformational work in my life through Landmark and studying Heidegger and various other things, and just really digging into the soul and what does it mean to what is my purpose? What does it mean to be me? And how do I express that? And as I was on that journey, just for myself, not really, I'm not coaching anybody or anything like that, but I just felt I sing, I perform, I write music, I write books, I do all these things. And it's how can I be the biggest contribution to people in my life, my career, making this my long time career? How do I up level all of that and then really help people or inspire them in some way? So that's how Soul on Fire came about. I was like, how do I take music and visual and audio, telling stories, that type of thing? So I went, what would it be like if I threw them all together? And that's a challenge.
Wow. And is this, because immersive to me also sounds like me as somebody who is watching and listening will participate somehow? Is that?
All of it. Yeah. Okay. I've worked it in such a way that I'll tell just one portion of the show. I'll tell a story and then I'll sing a song. And then on the screen, what you'll see is there'll be a question that would be pertinent to you. And with the show itself, what I do is there's gift bags, and in the gift bag, you have a journal. So you can pull your journal out and you can write, you can answer those questions, or you'll have it and save it for later or whatever. And then more towards the end of the show, I do a question answer, more paired sharing, that type of thing, so we can all interact. And that seems to work really well. People really enjoy that aspect of the whole experience. So you're getting music, you're getting all these passive kind of experiences, but then you get to activate your own experience through that. So it's real interesting to watch people from my perspective, having the experience of this. And I think at first they're shocked because it's like enacting, you're breaking the fourth wall. So it's quite invigorating and fun, actually.
Wow. Yeah. I can really imagine that, because I'm a very emotional person. So whenever I listen to music, especially when there is text involved, I totally relate to it and I start crying or laughing, or I really relive what's said in the song.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really intentionally set forth to go, okay, how do people really listen? How do people interact? How do people experience art or anything really? And everybody has a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are very visual. I'm very visual. Some people are auditory. Some people are kinesthetic, that kind of thing. So what I've done is I've infused all this, which is very challenging. I've infused all of this in one experience for about an hour and 40 minutes. So wow. Yeah, it worked. The time goes by really fast. It's really fun. People really enjoy it. And they're having wonderful inspirational moments that are takeaways for them. Plus mm-hmm. they have their journal so they can write in it or save it for later or whatever. So it's something that they can continue on with their own insights or their own transformation.
Mm, wow. And when people leave a Soul on Fire experience, what do you hope that stays with them weeks later?
That they can have the things that they want, that they can feel free to step into their own thoughts, their own empowerment, their own ways of being, that they can reflect more and really, really choose something that they can feel powerful, not powerless.
And where would I need to be to experience Soul on Fire?
Right now, it's only in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Now, let me talk about another aspect of your work, because I know that you write and speak a lot about courage.
Yeah.
How do you experience courage? And is there a way of experiencing courage in my body, not only in my mind and my mindset? What do you mean by courage?
Yeah, I have these five pillars that I live in, I believe in, and I've written about, and also infuse this into the show. But it starts with clarity. You've got to have clarity. It goes clarity, courage, confidence, commitment, then community. You cannot have community or even courage if you do not have clarity. If you do not know who you are, or what you want, or what kind of people do you want to be around, or you're just flailing around, then how do you really manifest? Like, how do you really have what you want to have if you don't know what you really want? You may be taking ideas or inspirations from somebody else, or you may feel pressured from your family or your friends or whatever to be a certain way or do a certain thing. And if you're trying to be them or something that you're not, then it's a little difficult to really step into your courage, and then you go into your confidence, clarity, courage. And courage is really a place that you step into. It's okay, I'm really clear about this. All right, let me try this. Okay, just let me step out and do this one thing. Then when you do that one thing, boom, the confidence starts to come. It starts to seep in. Then you do it again. Then you get more confidence. Then you do it again. You get more confidence, right? It builds like that. And then once you're really activated, you've really activated the courage to trust yourself and to do the things that you feel are right for your path, then you really step in to that confidence. And then that kind of avalanches into commitment. Oh, I'm committed to that. Then I'm committed. Otherwise, I think you know this too, Christine, when people are really sketchy and they don't really can't commit to anything. And guess what? They don't have trust. They don't know who they are necessarily, or they don't know what they want. And so that why they're afraid to commit to anything, because they may not feel like doing it later. So if you start with all of how I lay it out, if you just try it on, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, it's fine too. But I just say that this is how I figured it out. I worked my life. And then you can go, okay, I'm really committed to that. I'm really committed to that. And then you can go, now I've got this stuff rolling. I can have community. I can bring in community. I can activate who I am around my community. I can draw in the right people. I know that we both know at times you sit back and you go, oh, why is that person in my life? They're just a complaining pain of and you just like, guess what? Wherever you go, there you are. It's what you're concentrating on. It's what you're attracting. It's what you're allowing to happen, because you probably don't, you're not clear about something. That's my mindset on stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So when I have a commitment, I also will find people that have the same ideas, the same values, the same way of living, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, at least compatible. Let's just put it that way. There's a compatibility. They may not be exactly like you or exactly, but they might have a piece of the puzzle that really supports the experience that you're trying to have, or the company, or the whatever at school or whatever. Sometimes it's good to have that, a different perspective, right?
Yeah. That's something I actually only just recently noticed, that we're all so different, but there is always, as you just call it, a piece of the puzzle that fits to another person. And I can always find that piece to then find something in common and build on that. And we will never build on 100%.
Oh, same. No, you are correct. You are so correct. That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just funny. I realized it only recently, thanks to conversation. Isn't it strange that sometimes we have those ideas and we live our lives, and then suddenly we have an epiphany of something that is so common sense.
Exactly. It's so true. It's so true.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you another question, because I also said in the intro that you have said that you were dyslexic, or you are dyslexic, and you said that this dyslexia really taught you to listen differently. So how did that really shape your voice, literally, maybe, and also metaphorically?
Yeah, I learned that without thinking that I had a disability, just now came to that conclusion this year. It just occurred to me like I was slower. I have to read things slower. I'm definitely frightened of reading out loud all my life. And of course, all the things that I wanted to do in the art fields, like especially acting and that kind of thing, cold reading, all that stuff. My God. So I think in a lot of ways, I inhibited myself from doing certain things because I was afraid. And so, you know, what I did naturally as far as my talent was sing and write, and I could sing. So a lot of times the singing, you know, because there was major challenges with remembering the lyrics, like major. So I have to do it over and over. So you have to take your time. You have to be slow. I have to think about what I just read. I've got books that I've read, and you ask me about them, I go, I don't know. I don't know. Because I also take it in a different way, energetically, or what would you call it? Not in a physical way, but just more of in a more spiritual way. And I just take in things differently, and I had to work with myself with it, and then still take the attitude of, I want that. We're going to do this. We're going to figure it out. If I can't do everything, then I will bring somebody in to support the effort. And just allowing myself to do that, which is a pretty vulnerable place for most of us. So
yeah. Also admitting that we're not good at everything, and that we need help and ask for help in some.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Areas. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I became an achiever. I think I just way overcompensated for every why. You'll see probably there's a lot of actors, a lot of famous people that are like overachievers, and they're dyslexic. They've got some disability.
Okay.
Really interesting. Who else is that? I'm trying to think of somebody else. Our Governor Gavin Newsom here in California is dyslexic. He has to memorize everything he talks about.
Okay. And because because you're used to working hard to getting things done, you have that tendency to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, what could someone like me who is not dyslexic learn from your way of approaching things?
I think it's definitely very individual. What I would do is I would look at the problem areas of my life and go, oh, I want to just be better about that. Oh, or I can't do that very well, or whatever, just whatever it is. I'm not really sure, but it's different for everybody. Obviously me, of course, was reading out loud. How does someone like you that can read out loud? No problem. make it sound really good, make it sound connected. Like you're just, you hear people like that reading out of the stories and you're just like, oh my gosh. So I have to, again, I have to read it, slow down, understand it, understand the higher concept of what I'm trying to talk about, and then say it. So somebody like you, that shouldn't be an issue. You probably catch all that, no problem. And you probably read out loud, no problem. But so I guess the question is, what is it, an area in your life, not being dyslexic? What is there other areas that are confusing, or I don't know what they would be.
Yeah.
And then just take that approach, get some help, get somebody to help you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. And most people, especially if they're excellent in a field, they want to help you. That's why they're there. So don't feel weird and ashamed or whatever the game is, right? Don't go there. And if somebody doesn't want to help you, that's okay. They're just not right for you. And that's really the best way to look at it, instead of, oh, they don't like me and they don't want to help. And so.
Yeah, that's a good point. So if they don't accept my ask for help, then they're probably not the best one to help me anyway.
Exactly. Because they want to align with you. And you just, it's like, I always say, you take a round hole, you put a square peg in it. That's like that. It's hello. It's not going in. It's not the right deal.
Yeah. So there is not the piece of puzzle that we have in common is probably very small.
Most likely. Yes. Maybe not in that area that you've requested.
Yeah. True. Yeah. It can be another one. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We all have those different facets and, and different layers. That's so wonderful. Now, if we think about life nowadays, and especially life in the workplaces, what would you say, what would you want to see more of in the workplace? I mean, there would be something that you could help people in their workplace through music and storytelling. What would that be?
Yeah. I think overall in the workplace, I think because it's such a communal thing, and then it's also an individual thing. It's been years since I've been in that environment exactly. But what I see the lack of is consciousness. Like, as a unit, can we raise our consciousness? Is there programs? Is there things that we can bring in, kind of like Soul on Fire? Is there something that we can bring in that just makes everybody relax? It uplifts them, tells them a few stories. They've got some things to take home to think about themselves, for themselves, in regards to a more transformative, more conscious way of being in life. And I think once we bring that, once we do that work with ourselves, we can bring that to our work setting. And then it's going to be a little bit easier to say, hey, can I talk to you about something? I was just thinking about this for myself. What's your thoughts? I think the conversations get deeper. They get more interesting, more compelling, and not just like, how was your day, or just avoiding somebody, or but I mean, it just top surface bitch fest about the TV show that they watched last night. You know what I'm saying? It's no, you can actually take stuff away where you can access the possibilities of having a deeper conversation with others in the work setting and yourself. Like, what do I really think about that? Let me write that down. Things like that. Plus, they'll get a copy of my book too. So that goes with it. And then there's wonderful worksheets in there to do that kind of process.
So do you want to say a bit more about the worksheets and then the book and the work that people can do with it?
I'm right in the middle of writing a wonderful questionnaire sheet for everybody. The questions, like reflective questions, right? What would I choose if I fully trusted myself? That's one question, right? There's another. If I already had courage, what action would I take today? Or what story of fear am I willing to release so I can step into my power? What do you need to walk past in order to move forward. These are like little snippets of things that we, that will be on the worksheet, that will, things that we're going to share. There'll be a time, like I said, towards the end of the show where we actually, I open it up and then see if people really want to share their insights. They don't have to. It's not like I'm giving spotlights or something. But if that's cathartic and if that's important, it'll be a beautiful moment, a beautiful experience for people to go, wow, I never thought about that. I'm glad they said that. That happens a lot. It happened in the show once, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for oneself, if I say out loud what I just wrote down or what I just thought about, it's so much more powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. It brings you present. It brings you into your own consciousness, your own thoughts, your own beliefs. And then it, and it allows you to go, hopefully, that later you can step back and really question, why did I say that? Oh, that's interesting. Why? Wow, that's really negative. Or I can't think of anything. You go, wow, that's interesting. You know, and it gives you food, food for your soul.
Wow. Now, if I would ask you a suggestion or maybe even a recommendation of one small thing, one small step that someone listening to this should or could take right now or right today or this week, what would that be? What would your suggestion be?
Yeah, I used to teach this in my workshops. And so I would say this, and this really helps with clarity. I would say, take a piece of paper out, and it sounds really simple, but you'll find how difficult it is. I have difficulties with it. Draw a line down the middle of your paper on the left side, write down the things that I want. On the right side, write down the things that I don't want. And it'll be really interesting to see where you get stopped. Yeah.
Wow.
What I've noticed is that a lot of people can fill up the things that they don't want. But what about the things that they do want?
Yeah.
Try it. It works. It really works, because then it really helps you think a little bit deeper. And I always say, if you get stuck and you're, it feels convoluted or whatever, I think the best thing to do is definitely journal, write things down. And then if you still can't find your way through the weeds, sometimes it's best to talk to other people and find the right process for you to help you have that breakthrough. And that's really a good place to start. And that really allows one to have the clarity, to really bring that in. And you go, you know what? I'm super clear that, yeah, I don't want this, but you know what? I do want this. And I'm scared. And I don't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to somebody, shall we? Let's figure out what that roadblock is. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of Carl Jung work with the working with shadow. And yeah. So Carl Jung, not Jung. It's that American accent.
Well, yeah, that's very that's really insightful. And that's why I always say I'm working as a coach and I have a lot of clients having that kind of conversation with me and me as well. I'm working with coaches because, yeah, I do have that conversation as well, because we all have blind spots when it comes to our own stuff.
Of course. And it's wonderful because there are so many things that you don't know that you don't know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it shows up like a demon. You're like, you're like, what's wrong? Why do I feel that way? Yeah. Crazy. The journey is just crazy sometimes, Christine. It's like, oh my God. But when you find your lane, you get to stay in it. Stay in it.
Wow. Yeah. What was your most frightening experience on stage and your most beautiful experience on stage?
When I'm full, the beautiful part is when I'm fully present and I know my music really well and I'm not just learning my song and I sing totally from the body, mind, spirit through the heart. And it comes out and it's this amazing art piece. And it's just so freeing and so connected for me. There's so much juice for me that it goes out. And then everybody gets juice. Everybody gets, oh, I want to, there's something that happens that's electric in the room that everybody goes, I want that. whatever that is. So then you got to find out what that is for you. So that's the best part. Ooh, I don't usually have negative experiences, but I do have embarrassing moments. The embarrassing moment for me was when I was in Lake Tahoe, which is in California. And there's, plus there's a big casino. It's connected to Nevada and stuff like that. Anyway, I was playing this venue and big stage, big room. It was really nice. And I had dancers and we were doing all these dance moves. And I went to do this dance move and the floor was wood. And I hit it just right, just slick enough that I scooped and I fell and it was so loud. It went boom when I hit the floor. No, I'm not kidding you. The whole room went like this. What's that loud noise? And I just had to pretend like that was part of the move. And then I rolled over and got back up and started dancing. I just pretended like it was part of it. But that was so embarrassing. I wanted to just leave the room. And there's been other moments where I was so frightened, like for auditions or whatever. You're just sweating. Mm. You're just like so frightened. And then you just, hopefully you do your best. You lean into what you know and just get through it, even though it may not be good.
What is that drive? What is that motivation that then gets you back on stage?
Yeah, that motivation comes from my deep soul's gift. I feel like I'm here to use my gift in ways to really uplift. I know it sounds very cliche, but I'm really here to show, I'm a way shower where I help people see their way, not my way, their way, that they can do it and they can overcome whatever challenges that they have and to just keep going and find them, find their part, their piece, their lane, stay there, go there. And I just really feel like that's what gets me up. That's what it's weird, but it's never been for myself. It's never been like, oh, I just love what I can. There are people just love their voice. Okay, that's fine. I love myself on a deeper level, on another level. I don't need the adulation. I don't need people to love me or tell me I'm great or I'm not addicted. Like I need to be out there and just sing it. It's not from a place of emptiness and addiction. It's not a place from that. It's from a place of, I want to give, I want to share this. And if that helps you, we're good. Right. And that's where it comes from, because I'm not Beyonce. So it's not, well, I got 5 million coming in. We're preparing for a show. I'll be touring next year. And I got 25 Grammys. It's not like that. So you're right. I have no idea what gets me up.
Yeah, but I think you gave the perfect answer. And this almost need to serve others and to be there for others. Isn't that the most beautiful motivation that one could have?
It is. And that in itself is fulfilling, to know that somebody's walked away getting something for themselves that they can go on and they can touch other people because they're feeling good about who they are. Yeah, that would cure a lot of issues that we have today. Okay. I know we're in a narcissistic society right now, but yeah.
But you're working against that with everything you do, which is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Glenda. I could go on forever. Just to round us off, where can people go to learn more about you and your work and your performance?
Yeah, easy enough. I think the easiest way is to go to Glenda, G-L-E-N-D-A, music.com. That's the simplest. If you go to my website, you can find all the information about what I'm up to and when the next show is going to be and where.
Right. Right. I wish you the very best for all of your endeavors and everything that you plan. And thank you again so much for being on the show and sharing all your insights and wisdom with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Christine. Okay.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family. But only if you like it.